Good morning. The scripture this morning is from Mark 9, 2 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is a reading of God's word. Thanks be
to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Mountaintop experiences. Experiences where we remove ourselves from our everyday life and we go in search of a deeper experience with God. Sometimes we do this when we go away on retreats. Sometimes we do this when we go off on our own in nature. Mountaintop experiences are called mountaintop experiences because they frequently happen on a mountain. When we say mountaintop experiences, we mean an experience where we feel the presence of God more clearly than we would otherwise. Today's scripture reading, the story of Jesus' transfiguration, is a mountaintop experience for his disciples. They remove themselves with Jesus so that they can see God clearly. Now, not every mountaintop experience happens on a mountain. My last mountaintop experience happened on an ordinary Wednesday afternoon in my apartment. Now, Wednesdays are usually the day during the week that I try to work from home, and I try to get a draft of my sermon written. Now, some Wednesdays, sermon writing comes easily. But most Wednesdays feel like what I call sermon purgatory. You have an idea what you want to say, but you have no idea how you're going to say it, and you spend most of the day praying that the sermon will come to you before Sunday morning. I remember on this particular Wednesday, I was in the middle of a rough sermon purgatory. But we were also having one of those rare Pittsburgh winter days where the sun was actually shining. Now, the way that my apartment is set up, when the sun shines, I get all of this beautiful natural light streaming into my office. Now, before we all started working from home, my office wasn't an office, it was just a guest bedroom. So I have this futon in my office that back when we had, you know, people staying over, guests would sleep on. Now, my cat River has kind of taken over this futon, and it is now her bed, particularly when I'm trying to work from home. I think she intentionally times her naps when I'm supposed to be working, just so she can kind of mock me. Now, on this Wednesday, there was a moment that she fell asleep directly in sunlight, and she just looked so adorable that I had to take a picture of her. This is the picture that I took of River. See, she kind of fell asleep right in that sunlight. Now, as I was editing this photo, thinking that I was going to put it on social media, I was really struck by how different she looks in natural light. as compared to the pictures that I normally take of her on those cold, gray, wintry Pittsburgh afternoons, where her fur kind of blends into the background of wherever she's sitting because there's no light. But in natural light, I notice that she actually has these three little freckles on her left cheek. I also notice that the hair on her belly is actually a little bit lighter than the hair on her back. And it doesn't matter if she is passed out or awake, her ears always stick straight up. As I was looking at this picture, I was thinking about how much more clearly things come in natural light as opposed to no light or low light. And this kind of got me thinking about the Transfiguration, where for the first time, Jesus reveals himself to the disciples robed in white. And I kind of got to thinking about how maybe the disciples noticed him clearly for the first time there, too. Now, I hope this story of the Transfiguration is a familiar one to us. We read it every Sunday, every year, on the Sunday before Lent begins. So before Jesus is tested, betrayed, crucified, died, and ascends to heaven. Before all of that, we get this story of hope. A story that redeems all of the suffering that is to come. I like to think of the Transfiguration as a story of Jesus, the light at the end of the tunnel. So in the Transfiguration story, Mark begins by reminding Jesus' disciples that Jesus is the Son of God and that they should listen to him. If you've been following along in Mark's gospel, you'll notice that there are three times when God reveals to the disciples who Jesus is. They happen at Jesus' baptism, his transfiguration, and also at his death. I think God confirms Jesus' identity at these important moments in Jesus' life and ministry. In baptism, the Holy Spirit falls upon Jesus and he is able to begin his ministry. At his transfiguration, his disciples realize, hey, this is not just like some cool, smart dude that we're following around. This is actually God in the flesh. And at his death, the crowd realizes just how much Jesus loves them. He loves them so much that he's willing to die a death he doesn't deserve. I like to think of these three moments in Jesus' life, his baptism, his transfiguration, and his death. These are all light at the end of the tunnel moments. They're moments when the disciples experience hope in God's promises in a new and in a clear way. And there are also moments that alter the course of Jesus' life and the disciples. Having experienced the fulfillment of God's promises in the person of Jesus, Jesus can't go back to Nazareth and be a carpenter, nor can the disciples return to their boats and be fishermen. Friends, I think at this point in the church calendar, we could all use a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Since Christmas, we've been focusing on who Jesus is, but also what it's going to mean for us to follow Jesus in our lives. We've learned of the great joy, but also the great sacrifice this type of life requires. Next week, we're going to begin our journey to the cross with Jesus, where he is going to be betrayed by a close friend, publicly humiliated, and left to die a criminal's death, only to return to the Father and to entrust us to steward the mystery of salvation to every subsequent generation. What I appreciate about Mark's transfiguration story is that it gives us a moment to pause, to catch our breaths, to remind us of our hope in God's promises as we prepare for the work ahead. With Peter, James, and John, we too get to dwell for a moment in the presence of God. While at the same time, we're reminded that like the disciples, we are not called to live our lives on a mountaintop either. The Transfiguration story eventually moves us back down the mountain into the normal routines of life. Because God doesn't just tell us that Jesus is his son, he also tells us to listen to him. Friends, learning to listen to God is the journey of Lent, a journey that begins for us this week on Ash Wednesday. I hope that many of you will be able to join us on Zoom at 7 o'clock for a special Ash Wednesday service. There we will reflect and meditate on our own morality, but we will also reflect on the hope we have in Jesus. One of the things we learn in Lent is that the way of Jesus is the way of the cross. Because Jesus doesn't live on the mountaintop either. Jesus lives on the valleys of everyday life, where even he cannot escape rejection, suffering, death, and the hope of resurrection. But not only can he not escape them, he redeems them so they become an integral part of his mission. Friends, the miracle of our faith is that we have a Savior who not only died for us, but who undergoes the same suffering, rejection, pain, and loss that we experience as well. And it is by way of that suffering that Jesus redeems humanity. So yes, there is light at the end of the tunnel, but we have to walk through the tunnel first, strengthened by our faith that Jesus walks alongside us always. So, friends, as we head into Lent, I want to confirm that the way of the cross is the path of discipleship for us too. In the way of the cross will include stops along the way on top of mountains and also in deep valleys. Let us go from this place expecting God to reveal himself to us on top of the mountains and next to the quiet waters. While we journey with God, let us pause and look for moments where we can see the light, the end of the tunnel. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.